The Alaska Municipal League is predicting the COVID-19 pandemic will incur between $200 and $250 million in expenditures by local governments. AML calculated another $200 to $250 million impact to municipal revenues with the loss of tourism and other impacted industries. Federal money from the $2 trillion CARES Act passed last month is expected to offset some of that hit to Alaska's local communities. Nils Andreessen, executive director of AML, says that while the federal aid is expected to be used for emergency response expenses, local governments are able to define what falls under emergency response.
So all your medical emergency management costs, public health costs, payroll costs for anyone working on response or management of the crisis, and then anything in response to state health mandates or CDC guidance. And then it also allows for secondary impacts to be covered. So basically any economic support to those suffering from employment or business interruptions, anything like that, that a local government wants to offer.
Andreessen said community leaders from across the state have been working together to understand how to respond economically to the crisis and what aid money can and can't pay for.
Everybody wants to get on the same page. Everybody wants to share best practices. Everybody wants to try to answer common questions. It's brought people together more closely than I've ever seen before, mostly because we have this common challenge that everybody's trying to overcome, and everyone's trying to find solutions in the public's interest.
Right now, Andreessen said it is still unclear as to whether communities like Kodiak could use aid money to cover things like school bond debt reimbursement. He said they're waiting on guidance at the state and federal level.
I think once we have better guidance from OMB and from the state as to what are eligible expenditures, then we'll be able to look at the difference between, you know, what can we make up through CARES Act funding and what's left for the school bond debt reimbursement.
The Alaska Municipal League has a number of resources available for businesses and municipalities looking for information on emergency relief processes. You can check their website at akml.org for the latest roundup of emergency declarations and local policies passed, guides on applying for relief funding, information on employee rights, and more. K-12 classes have moved online, and with them, extracurriculars are going virtual too. For more than a month, Next Step Dance in Kodiak has hosted a digital dance studio through Zoom to keep almost 300 young students practicing choreography from home. Mary Beth Lowen, owner and director of Next Step Dance, has taught dance classes for the better part of 20 years. In Kodiak, her studio boasts 280 students across ballet, hip-hop, jazz, ballroom, and other forms of dance. Last month, when the COVID-19 pandemic forced the studio to suspend classes, Lowen and her team of 14 teachers moved classes online, meeting students through video conference.
While we can't do, you know, big leaps and combinations like we would do in the studio, we're able to do a lot of strengthening and stretching and full ballet bars. We're even working on some choreography, and I'm teaching my students like new combinations. So they're making it work, even if it's nobody has a full dance studio in their house.
The studio maintains 51 hours of virtual classes each week. Lowen said dancing over Zoom comes with expected challenges: lags in the video feed, difficulty keeping kids from getting distracted by pets or siblings, and to an extent they miss out on the social component of interacting with their fellow dancers. But Lowen said maintaining a dance schedule, even over the internet, lets kids preserve a bit of normalcy in the midst of a hunkered-down lifestyle.
I think that's the thing they love most, is because doing it on Zoom means that they can see each other. So they do get to interact, and some of our classes give, you know, 5 minutes at the end or the beginning so that they can chat to each other via, you know, either typing. We all take a little bit of time every class and talk about how we're doing and what we've been up to.
Milo Woodley, a senior in an advanced ballet class, gets emotional thinking about how much things have changed from before the pandemic. She said she misses her friends, her part-time job at a coffee shop, and the feeling of a routine. Dancing over Zoom, using her bedroom wall as a makeshift ballet bar, helps, but it's not the same.
It helps you feel less stuck at home, if that makes sense. And like,
yeah.
like you are still working towards something. I don't know, it is nice to see your friends over Zoom, but the best way to put it is like you stay at a plateau and at home, dancing at home, you stay at a plateau.
Along with prom and graduation, the senior recital of Frozen that King and Woodley were set to perform in as Kristoff and Sven the reindeer, respectively, was canceled. For Woodley, who's planning to leave for college in Arizona in the fall, missing out on those last few important events is heartbreaking.
And it's really hard to work your way towards that really big milestone without hitting all of the little milestones in between, like graduation and prom and your last, like, memories with all your classmates. And so it definitely feels like I'm missing out.
Lowen is still hoping that if local and state restrictions begin to open up more, the studio might be able to start socially distancing classes outdoors or even film the seniors' recital and project and project it on the auditorium wall for the public to see like a drive-in movie. Until then, though, it may mean going without in-person instruction and a year-end recital. Dance classes will continue over the internet. Many Alaskans are probably feeling especially vulnerable right now. Maybe they lost their job or are waiting for that federal check to pay some bills or put food on the table. Or maybe they're hunkered down in their home hoping that they don't get sick and contract COVID-19. Meanwhile, there are unscrupulous people who are online or working the phones to take advantage of the situation. K2's Matt Miller reports on how to recognize some of the scams and frauds that are underway and what you can do to protect yourself.
This influenza that is now circling the globe, you're saying that silver solution would be effective.
Well, let's say it hasn't been tested on this strain of the coronavirus.
That's TV evangelist Jim Baker helping sell a drinkable liquid with silver particles to prevent or cure anything from the common flu to SARS and HIV. Even though there's been no credible medical research to back up such claims, it's being marketed here as a potential cure for coronavirus.
Able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
Totally eliminate it, kills it, and deactivates it.
Yeah.
That's just one example of the coronavirus scams and frauds featuring bogus home testing kits, non-existent vaccines, and dubious cure-all elixirs.
If something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Brian Schroeder is the U.S. Attorney for Alaska, the top federal prosecutor in the state.
If you're being offered a cure when we know that there's not any treatments out there that have been approved yet, or you know you're being offered a test when we know those are being controlled by, you know, by hospitals and medical professionals, chances are that's some kind of scam.
John Haley, an assistant attorney general working in the state's Consumer Protection Unit, says scammers get leverage by capitalizing on people's fear and anxiety. But this time, with the current pandemic, that fear is already universally built in.
Because when people are afraid, they'll often make, you know, rash decisions kind of quickly without thinking things through because of that heightened anxiety, of that, you know, quickened heartbeat. And people will, you know, make mistakes in their guard. They go up, but not in the right direction.
Schroeder says other frauds include masks and other personal protective equipment apparently being sold at sky-high prices or by companies that suddenly emerge out of thin air. He says scammers may also pose as charities, cold-calling potential victims with bogus pitches to get their credit card information. Sarah Nashell is with the advocacy organization AARP Alaska, and she says the biggest scam right now appears related to small business loans, unemployment payments, and stimulus funds. They're likely phishing attempts. That's phishing with a PH.
Be careful of anybody calling, emailing, or texting stating that they need to verify your bank account or your personal information in order to deposit or speed up, say, your stimulus check or your Trump dollars.
Shell says anyone who had their tax refunds directly deposited recently does not need to submit their bank account number. U.S. Attorney Brian Schroeder says an effective tool is using your common sense.
Somebody's asking you for something and there's that queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach that, hey, maybe I shouldn't do this. Don't do it. Take a step back. Feel concerned about, you know, hitting that button on your computer, stop and don't do it and get some help.
The advice that everyone gives includes hanging up the phone, don't give out your personal info or credit card number. And the link in that email or text message could lead to the theft of your personal info or load malware on your computer or cell phone. Like other federal prosecutors around the country, Schroeder says they have a dedicated COVID consumer fraud coordinator in their Anchorage office, so they can track down and prosecute a scammer operating out of another state.
Right from the top, Attorney General Barr told us, I want you to make this a priority to stop this as it, you know, as we see it happening.
Haley says the state's Consumer Protection Unit can't file criminal charges, but they can take civil action to shut down fraudsters and scammers in Alaska and impose hefty fines. And that's pretty much what happened with Jim Baker, who helped market the silver collodial on his TV show. And New York State's Attorney General sent Baker a cease and desist letter, and Missouri has sued to prevent him from trying again to sell the stuff later. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Some good information there. As of Friday, the state said some businesses that have been shuttered for a month can reopen, but the city and borough of Juneau is asking business owners to wait a little longer for local leaders to discuss the pros and cons. From K2's Adeline Baxter, here's this report.
The new state health mandate lists several types of non-essential businesses that can now choose to reopen, as long as they follow rules meant to keep people safe. But Juneau is asking local business owners to hold off. Mayor Beth Weldon says the city assembly will discuss the state's guidelines Monday.
We are going to look at the mandates a little bit more in detail and see if indeed we're comfortable with all of them. They seem, for the businesses trying to reopen, they seem to have some pretty strict regulations in place. So that's comforting.
The city won't prevent anyone from opening up in the meantime. But Weldon says they would like to hear from the community before the assembly decides whether to set some rules of its own. For some business owners, there was confusion about how to safely open. The state's Board of Barbers and Hairdressers met for several hours Friday morning, answering dozens of questions about everything from where customers should wait to how to properly sanitize a space. Some owners questioned if they could get sued if someone caught COVID-19 in their shops. Calls to several Juneau area barbershops and hair salons on Friday revealed several were open and accepting customers one at a time, but others remained closed. Joe Betts, owner of Little Mermaid Beauty Salon in Douglas, was in her shop cleaning and getting ready to reopen. But not just yet.
My first reaction was it was too soon.
Juneau has had 27 confirmed cases of COVID-19 so far. 18 of those have recovered. After doing her own research and seeing what national authorities are saying, Betts decided to wait until May 1st.
Everyone I've made the appointment with has said, absolutely, I agree. I think that's really good. That's good that you're doing that. And they've also been very good about saying that they were very proud of me for waiting to open until I felt comfortable to open.
She says she actually closed her salon a week before the state mandate was issued, requiring her to do so in March. She also had multiple people ask her to make house calls, but she said no. When she does reopen, she's asking customers to wait in their cars until she comes to get them. She'll sanitize between each appointment and wear a mask. She's already fully booked a week out from May 1st, and that's just her regulars.
My hair color people are my first priority because they are the most desperate. But trying to get my own local clientele in first before I start taking people that I don't know.
On Monday, when the Juneau Assembly meets again, it could decide to reintroduce some of the restrictions from the city's hunker down order. Assemblymember Rob Edwardson says he still has some reservations about the state's ability to assess the risk that reopening businesses and relaxing restrictions could mean for public health.
I definitely think that it's a possibility to go back to that. I don't know how much support there would be on the assembly. I definitely think it's a possibility that the assembly would go with the governor's list with no modifications, but I kind of feel like that it's what we're going to end up with will be someplace in between.
Either way, Edwardson says he hopes Juneau residents will continue doing what they've been doing, washing their hands frequently, social distancing, and wearing a mask when appropriate. The assembly will discuss the mandate during Monday's regular meeting at 7 p.m. Before that, Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink will answer questions from the assembly starting at 6 p.m. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Bacon-flavored seaweed is a new hit for foodies. More after this.
Over 30% of fishermen deaths in Alaska are from falling overboard. Life jackets save lives, and today's models fit right into your work gear. Learn more at amsea.org.
A type of seaweed that naturally tastes like bacon is quickly becoming the new it superfood. Dulse is a red seaweed that can be found along the coasts from California to Alaska. It's been used as a food source for centuries throughout Scotland, Ireland, and Scandinavia, but is now being rediscovered at Oregon State University's Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport.
We thought that the most valuable crop from our dulse abalone co-culture system would be the abalone.
Chris Langdon is a professor of fisheries at OSU. He says they've discovered that the red seaweed is the more valuable of the two.
It's so expensive. When you buy dulse, it can be anywhere from $30 to $90 a pound dry weight.
The pricey seaweed is so packed with protein and other nutrients, researchers are finding that it tops another leafy green superfood, kale.
It's much more nutritious than kale, for sure. I mean, it has quite a lot of protein. It has a lot of really good trace metals and minerals, a lot of iodine and antioxidants such as polyphenols and vitamin C. And it also has these marine oils.
A chef at the Food Innovation Center in Portland found that adding a little oil in a frying pan brought out the flavor in the seaweed, putting dulse in the global spotlight.
We thought we were onto something completely new, but when we started reading reports and cooking books, we found that others actually had reported that dulse can taste like bacon when you fry it.
Researchers and chefs have been testing dulse in a variety of different food products, from ice cream to salad dressings, even beer.
The interest that we've received from all over the world indicates that this is something quite important. There are a lot of people who can't eat meat or they can't eat pork. So the potential of being able to eat something that tastes a little like bacon is very appealing to those folks.
Remember to take the Fisherman's Survey at salmonstate.org by May 1st. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Bacon seaweed. Sounds lovely. I'm going to give you the latest release. There should be another one released later today. The Department of Health and Social Services yesterday, announced two new cases of COVID-19 in two communities, North Pole and Sitka, bringing the total case number to 341. This reflects data from 12 a.m. until 12 p.m. on April 25th, posted as of noon. Yesterday, of the two new cases, both are male. One is aged 40 to 49. The other one is 60 to 69. There have been a total of 36 hospitalizations and 9 deaths, with no new hospitalizations or deaths reported as of yesterday. Recovered cases now is at 217. This is Sitka's first COVID-19 case, and the person is a resident at a long-term care facility. Alaska Department of Corrections announced yesterday that the confirmation of the first positive case for an inmate at a DOC facility at Goose Creek Correctional Center in the Mat Sioux. Case will be included in the case count for tomorrow, today. They're trying to investigate that, to work with public health to assess how to proceed further. We'll give you more information as it becomes available. You can also always find that on the state's website. It's currently 49, 50 degrees up on Signal Hill, 66% humidity, a northeast wind of 8 miles an hour blowing, 10 miles of visibility out at the airport. Sunny skies this afternoon with a high near where we're at, 50 degrees. Northwest winds 5 miles an hour, becoming calmer this afternoon. Clear tonight with a low around 39. Southeast winds 5 miles an hour, becoming calm later in the evening. Sunny again tomorrow with a high near 50. Northwest winds 5, becoming calm in the morning. It's the 27th of April today, Monday. 6:27 was sun up, goes down at 9:50, a long 15 hours and 24 minutes of daylight today, 4 minutes and 43 second daylight gain from yesterday. 61 was the record high in 1990, 23 the low in 1975. The synopsis for the North Gulf Coast and Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet issued at 3:15 this morning. 974 millibar low, 190 nautical miles southwest of Sitka. This morning moved to 130 nautical miles southwest of Yakutat at 992 millibars by Tuesday morning, and then dissipates tomorrow afternoon. West of the Barrens, including Kamishak Bay, variable 10 2-foot seas this afternoon. Same tonight. Tomorrow, east 15 4-foot seas. Barren Islands east, small craft advisory through tonight. Northwest winds 15 knots, 5-foot seas build to 9 feet this afternoon. Variable 10, 8-foot seas tonight. Variable 10, 6-foot seas tomorrow. Marmon Islands, Sikkenak, small craft advisory through tonight. Variable 10, 5-foot seas up to 9 feet this afternoon. Variable 10, 8-foot seas tonight. Tuesday night, variable 10, 6-foot seas. Chiniak Bay this afternoon, variable less than 10, 3-foot seas. Variable less than 10, 2-foot seas tonight. Variable less than 10, 3-foot seas Tuesday night. Marmot Bay this afternoon, variable less than 10 with 3-foot seas. Variable less than 10, 3-foot seas down to 1 feet after midnight tonight. Variable less than 10 with a 1-foot sea up to 3 feet tomorrow afternoon. Shelikov Strait this afternoon, southwest winds 15 knots, 3-foot seas. West winds 15 knots, 3-foot seas tonight. West winds 15 knots, 3-foot seas tomorrow. Kodiak District, we're in the midst of a low tide now. Beaches are spectacular for going out and playing on these days. We had a low tide that peaked about a half an hour ago, minus 0.3 foot. High tide's at 6 o'clock tonight, 6.2 feet, and the evening low tide's at 11, a little after 11. It's about a 3-footer. The Uganic tide is now minus 0.33 feet. High tide 6:18 tonight, 12.3 feet. And the early morning low tide is just about midnight, 4-footer. Some announcements from the folder here. Kodiak Business Community Survey, the Kodiak Economic Impact Survey Round 2 is now available. Confidential survey tracking and documenting impacts for future relief funding opportunities for the community. Please complete it to give valuable information to the state, local, and federal entities to understand the impacts on our community to COVID-19 and to the Kodiak business community. The survey closes at 5 p.m. today. If you'd like to take it and help out, go to surveymonkey.com/r/GWYWLG9. You can call us and we'll give you the link, or you can call the chamber as well. All persons arriving in Kodiak must self-quarantine as follows: 14 days from the time of arrival for those who have traveled by plane, or 14 days from the date of departure from the last port of call for those who have traveled by boats. All vessels must check in with the Harbor Master Office on VHF Channel 16 or Channel 12, or call 486-8080. Any persons who become ill should remain in quarantine and call one of the following numbers for health information. General information, 211-211. Kodiak Community Health Center, 481-5000. Mill Bay Health Center, 486-7300. Remember, maintain social distancing when you're in quarantine, and when it's your time is over, still maintain social distancing. Local COVID-19 response general information may be obtained by contacting Kodiak Emergency Services at 486-8970. Kodiak Public Library is always open online as they morph into a more digital branch. Online books, Canopy Movie streaming services with unlimited children's programs, America's newspapers, homework help, Mango language learning, and more are available to you 24/7. If you don't have a library card, anyone can register for a 90-day card to have access to their online resources available on their website. Go look for the Kodiak Library. Kodiak Economic Task Force, formed by Emergency Services Council, has formed a comprehensive website for the Kodiak community filled with resources the island needs during this pandemic. Site offers information from government updates, health care, volunteer opportunities, food banks, crisis assistance, business information for the community, and much, much more. Visit KodiakEconomicTaskForce.com. If you have information you'd like to add to the website, info@kodiak.org. Or call the chamber, 486-5557. The Kodiak Shakespeares are having again their Zoom performance on Friday night at 6:30. Tickets are available exclusively at kodiakshakespeares.lettuce LUDUS.com. Only one ticket per household is needed. Only 75 tickets will be sold. Tickets are pay what you can. Once purchased, a link to a password to a secure room on Zoom will be sent to you. Sounds like a good way to have some fun.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.